Father, I just want to thank you, Father, this morning. I dedicate my mind, my lips and my tongue and my voice box to you, Father. Everything that I speak shall come only from you, Lord. Nothing shall come from my flesh or from my own carnal mind. Let it be your will, Father, done. And let every heart that hears this morning, Spirit of God, I pray that it will be prepared and the heart will be fertile. And the Lord, I pray when they are fertile, every word given today shall, Lord, will grow like a tree to, Lord, to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we were talking about a couple of things last 2 weeks, I think. So we talked about the kingdom of God. I did mention last week that kingdom of God, there are times, 77 times it's mentioned kingdom of God, and 33 times it's mentioned kingdom of heaven. So we did say, I said, there's a difference between God and kingdom of heaven, but many of the theologians and many people say it's both you can both use both the words for both kingdom and heaven, but that is a little bit of understanding. You must understand kingdom of God, where the Father in heaven is reigning, he's the one who's reigning over everything, but kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven comes from heaven. Amen. It comes from heaven to earth. So it's heaven and earth. So if you understand that last week I spoke about all the scriptures. I gave the scriptures. Some of you, if you want the scriptures, I'll give it to you. And I'll type it out and give it to you so that you all can have that scriptures. And I pray that I will be able to type. I'm a slow typer, so please bear with me. So I'm preparing some other notes. I'm like typing like a small boy, you know. Probably your children can type faster than me. Some other time, as I'm preparing these days, I'll definitely prepare the sheet for you and tell you what. But both of them are the same. But only thing that God is reign over everything else. The Son is given. This kingdom of God is given to him so that we are kings together with him. Amen? Go ahead. We'll cover that today. Amen? We are kingdom of God. The last days you'll find Revelation. The last that you'll find the kingdom of God comes down here. The new Jerusalem comes down. New heaven comes down here. That new place. That is where we're going to reign. Amen? So that is given to Jesus Christ and again. So you'll understand it's not that it is so different, but God, Father in heaven, is overall everything. He is the God of the heaven. He is the King of everything. The whole universe. Heaven, earth, and everything. The Milky Way, everything, he is the one who is in verse. But Jesus is given a task now to create this kingdom of heaven so that the kingdom of heaven will come down from heaven. That is why Jesus says in chapter 6, verse 33, we'll go back to our main scripture that we have been discussing about all this while. Let's go to chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We did talk about why did Jesus say, but. There was a but. There's a reason why it's but. It says there's a condition or nullifies what he has said before, so that there is a condition that follows it. But seek first the kingdom of God, then and his righteousness. Another living Bible says that in all his righteousness, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Another Bible quantifies, Amplified Bible also says that, a little bit more expanded. It says that all the righteousness, all, not one. So everything else, and seek his righteousness. Right? So the first thing is they've got to do, first thing first. We talked about the first, I'm recapping, okay? I'm just quickly going through recapping. We said, but means, let me say, whatever you said before in chapter 5, chapter 4, 6, or earlier than that, it's nullifying. He said, all this you can get. He says, you know, you don't worry about a sparrow, you know, like a sparrow, he compared the birds and earth, and after that he said, don't worry about the things of the world. You know, everything shall come to you. Everything that I say will come to you. But. You don't sit down there. Yes, everything will come to me. Yes, everything will come to me. No, but. That is a but. Huh? When you have something like when you say, you tell your children, okay, you do all this thing today. Or you tell my son, no, okay, you wash my car, I will give you. But you must wash my car, I'll give you that one ringgit. But. You also have got but at home, isn't it? Huh? So your wife tells you to go somewhere and he says, no, but, you know, when I come back, you must cook me a good meal. Alright, something that is always but. So this is the reservation. God says, it's a but what? First things first. You must do, he says, first. First means, whenever we say, must do the first things first. So the first thing must be done urgently. What is to be done urgently? The first thing is to seek the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know? And all his righteousness. So kingdom of God encompasses everything. Kingdom of God talks about so many things. Kingdom of everything. Kingdom of God is something not just a small bit about it, but the kingdom of God is very huge. And all is righteousness. I did say we compare. Let's say kingdom. Well, let's say for example, I'm going through fast where I can finish something today and I will not let you all wait sometimes. So we did discuss to recap. How many of you remember? How did we say that we must seek the kingdom and the king? Why did we keep the, seek the king of the kingdom? Hello? I think 1 week lapse is a difficult thing, isn't it? 1 week lapse. No, we said when you go to Australia, you want to migrate to Australia, you look at the laws of the land. Oh, that is favorable to me than compared to Malaysia, so I want to migrate there. You see the things that is provided in the land. So the kingdom, let's say you go to in Thailand, the kingdom, you say, I'm now in kingdom, but it's not it. But you go to kingdom to seek the king first. Because unless you seek the king, he has got what he has got for you in the land, or the promise he last gives you, that he has got. You'll find in the last Old Testament, you'll find, even in Joseph, in the time of Joseph's time, he seeked Pharaoh and says, I've got my parents coming. He seeked him. When he seeked the kingdom, and he says, the king says, okay, you go and tell them to settle down in this part of the land. Do you go back? Can you go back to Genesis and find out that? Joseph had that same thing. His parents, his Jacob, and all of them brothers came down, and all of them came. He says, no, now my parents are here. I do not know. I will talk to them and I'll see the king. He seeks the king. Although he has an authority, he is an authority administrator. He is almost like the king, but he still seeks the king. He seeks the king and he says, my parents are here, I need a place for my parents. So he, the Pharaoh said, no, what you do? You go and take that part of this land and you can leave them. Your parents can live there, they can do whatever they want. So you have to seek the land. So you have to seek the king of the kingdom. The kingdom, if you don't seek kingdom, if you are seeking kingdom of God, then you have to seek God first. In order for us to seek God, we must see the king of heaven. That is the king of heavens of our Lord who came down on earth. That is Jesus Christ. Unless we know seek the king, we do not know what benefits he has got for us. Amen? Are we fresh now? Are you refreshed now? Do you call back all those being spoken last 2 weeks? Okay. So unless we seek. So when you seek the kingdom of God first, though when you seek the kingdom, you have to seek the king first. When you seek the king, when somebody comes to your house and he says that, I want to come to James' house today. I want to come to so-and-so's house today. I want to come to Daniel's house. That, you know, to go to Daniel's house, you don't know. You must go and seek him first. You must seek him, look for him, and find out where is his place and everything else. And what he's going to give that day, he's going to cook for you. What, mutton curry, chicken curry, or you want to give you what, just vegetable or sambar? Or dal curry? Or curry? No, let me not say it. I'll slive after that. So, you know, whatever it is, whatever he wants to cook for you, you have to decide what you want to cook for you, okay? So, you see, he just reminded me something. I'm slivering now. So, I did say that, you know, mentioned about the other day, I mentioned, why do I sliver? Because now we have that memory of the things of the past, okay? That is why we sliver. The kingdom, you have learned the king. You have known the king. You know the sweetness of the king. And you will always sliver. You always want to be with that king. Amen. Right? You know that the effects of the king, the influence of the king, that thing that is spread unto you. So you'll know that you want to be with the king all the time. So seeking the kingdom means to seek the king first so that you know the kingdom. Amen? So the king of the kings, which is God says, for Jesus said that, I gave you scriptures and I said, you know, Jesus was given, everything all in heaven and earth is given to me. He didn't say the universe, he said heaven and earth is given to me. All authority is bound to me. And everything says, so that the last days when he comes back again, right, that shall be reigning, he will reign as a king. And he reigns as a king, we are co as. Did we go through the co as? What means the co as? What are the benefits of co as? Hello? Do you still remember? It looks like we have to repeat the messages again. Once I will speak, and then the other one, the same message, somebody else will speak. That's better, I think. So you'll remember it goes to us. Because it's important. It must be part of our heart. Unless it's part of our heart, then we know we can walk in the truth of God. Because truth of God, the king which is given the truth, he has got to know the truth first. Amen. And the truth will set us free. Amen. Unless you know the truth, which is the kingdom, the king gives you the truth. And he tells you, this is the way we have in this kingdom. This is how I administer in this kingdom. This is the benefits I give it to you. The truth will set you free. Amen. Praise God. So unless you know the kingdom, unless you become pally with the king, you cannot get the benefits of the kingdom. Amen? Praise God. So we know what we are going through. So I did say I could not finish the last message, last 2 weeks, because I want to go through the parables. There are 8 parables he's given today. There are 8 parables about kingdom. Alright? And Jesus gave an example of the kingdom, how it looks like in the way that he spoke in parables. Why does he speak in parables? Why does he speak in parables? Matthew chapter 13 verse 34. He spoke to them in parables. Why? Do you get it, brother? Can you put it up on the screen? Easy to relate. So in other words, he knows how to relate to the people. At the same time, he spoke all the thing and spoke multitude in parables. Without a parable, he did not speak to them. So in other words, most of the time he spoke with parables. Why? Because he was relating to everything. Everything that he related to them was something that he was saying. Excuse me, I just want to get this out. So the power of God is, you know, he spoke everything in parables so that he will say that whatever he says that, you know, people understand. Those who has to understand. He's got a reason for saying that in parables. You'll find that, you know, Luke chapter 8 verse 10. Luke chapter 8 verse 10. Can you put it up, brother? He says, unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that it may seem, and hearing they may not understand. The people cannot understand what he says. So that people when gives, I'm using the old King James, because I use some of them in expandable, amplified, sorry. So that you will understand why God is talking to us in different this thing. You expand it a little bit and you go into the Bible and understand the word, it'll become so easy for us to understand that God is giving to them. So that he says every parable was given to us for a reason. It was spoken in parables because people who can hear will hear. Those who can see will see. Those who can't, who are not part of it, will not hear. It was supposed to be blinded away from the people of those people who are used by Satan at that time. Amen. So God has got a purpose. He explained to disciples. When he came to his disciples, he explained to them in verse 13:36, he says it very clear. He explained to them. Although he spoke in parables, he explained to them word for word. Oh, don't you know this? He explained to them, okay? Let's look at the first parable. I would like to look at the first parable. Chapter 13, verse 3 to 23. You'll find that also in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. He used number 1, verse 13, verse 3, he used number 1. He says, he used a word, he says, just like the kingdom, a word of kingdom is, he used as seed. Can you put on, brother? Go further down. He used as seed, sower, seed, and soil. The first one, let me go to my... He used a sower and a seed. Now, therefore, the parable of the kingdom, the sower, verse 18. When anyone hears the word of God, he blesses them. He says, it's like seeds. He used one sower, the person who sows, the seed, and also the soil. Now, it's important for us to understand the kingdom of God is like the seed. It's like a seed. He says that a seed must be grown and it must be planted in all the justified, and Jesus is justified in the seed, which says that he, when he cast out some fall on this side, some will fall on the other side, some will fall where? On fertile ground. Amen? Are you reading the same one which I'm reading? Hello? Are you with me so far? Some of them, like say for example, therefore hear the parable of the sower. And when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This he who received seed by the wayside, but those he who received the seed on stony places, this he is who hears the word of, and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in itself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Excuse me. And he becomes unfaithful, unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understand it, who indeed bears fruit and provides some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So he is comparing the kingdom of God is something that is expandable. When it is put somewhere, a seed is planted, it will grow. It will be, must be in a soil which is good, which is good ground, which is good, not something which is unfertile or something that is hard grounds. Because when you have a hard ground, you cannot hear. That is why the people at the time, in the time of the days of Jesus Christ, people who were hearing the parables did not understand. Because they were hard grounds. Their heart was hardened, rejected everything. And there is another person who says, yeah, I think so today. Because you know what? He fed me 5,000. No, he fed me today. I'm very happy today he fed me. Maybe tomorrow also he'll feed me, you know. I believe him. But when he comes, there's real time of hardship. And he says, no, he has got to stand on faith. Ah, trouble come. There's no famine here. I don't know how to get food. We're looking for Jesus. Then his faith wavers. It dies off. Then he'll go back to the world. And he talked about a task, which is about the world. The things, the burdens in the world, riches, whatever you seek for in the world is the riches. When you seek the worldly kingdom, which is the opposite of the kingdom of God, I did speak to you, we were no more in the darkness. In the darkness, when there is light means there must be opposite of light is darkness. Darkness opposite is light. So you cannot be both together. Even at night, when God created, he gave stars so that stars can give some light. There are moons at night, there is no pitch darkness. Anywhere in the world you go, there'll be some star somewhere. There'll be some moon somewhere. You know, some moon, at least part of the moon you might see. Quarter at least. Or little bit, one fifth or one tenth of it you can see. You'll see some light at night. There's no such thing as pure total darkness. Because we were in the darkness, we came out from that, we came to the light, kingdom of light. So when we are in the kingdom of light, there is no darkness at all. Amen? So when you come to the kingdom of light, you know that a seed which was planted into us will always grow. It has to grow because it is on a soil which is fertile. Unless our heart and our soil is hungry and seeking the king of the kingdom, then what seed is given to you, what truth is given to us, it will be always growing. It is unless and until the world is taking care of us, the world is, we are partly one leg in the kingdom of God, another leg this side on the kingdom of the earth. Remember the faith, I told you about faith last time. You know, faith is like that. Faith is when it fails, God didn't give me, then I can still go back to the earth and then ask those fellas, pull cables, and whatever you can pull in the world to get whatever tricks you want to get. Right? You get all the connections in the world. The minister, the MP, whoever it is, so that you can get favors. But in the kingdom of God, you just seek the kingdom, and the king will provide for you. There's no cable needed. All you have to do is seek him. See, you don't have to go and pull out nothing. You can go and sit down alone and seek the kingdom. And the king will give it to you. So that is why the seed that is planted in a heart which is hungry, which is a heart which is fertile, a fertile heart is a hungry heart. Amen. A fertile heart is something that is thirsting every day. A fertile ground, that is, you say about fertile ground, the ground is dry. When the ground is dry, it is hungry for rain. When the fertile ground is rain, why did he use this to a farmer? Because the farmers know on the day when, you know, it's no rain, when there's a time of the season, now is the time of rain. Next month, you know, it's raining time in Israel. In this time, it's real hard rain, hard times. It's really hot. Those of us who have been to Israel, you'll understand. They have know that this time, the season, is really hot. It's really hot that you see everything cracking. Even the grounds will be cracking. Why? Because it's really hot. It's hungry. It's hungry for water. It's hungry for rain. Lord, rain, provide water. When you have that kind of hungry heart, a ground which is fertile, his ground is really fertile. He's waiting for the water, the truth to come down. When you seek the word of God, and the word of God comes down like a rain, and the rain will flourish the entire land. Anything that is put into the land, anything that is planted in the land will grow and will be fruitful. Amen. So kingdom of God, he says now, unless the seed is like a seed, it's coming down. A seed has got to be planted in the ground. If the ground is so hard, it has got to reject it. There shall be no growth in the hard ground. There must be a fertile ground. Fertile ground, even there is no rain, some other God will provide the rain. Amen. Amen. So he was relating to them to understand. So the kingdom of God is like what? Like the sower and the seed. God is sowing the seed. God is giving you the seed. Kingdom of God is giving you. He's giving you. He's putting out his hands. But the people are not putting their hands out to receive it. Can you just imagine? You know, in Genesis it says, when Cain murdered Abel, What did God say to him? What did God say to him? If you recall back, I can't remember the verse, but I know it's chapter four. When he murdered Cain, what God spoke to him? And he says, what is it? What have you done? The blood is crying out from the earth. My gosh. So the earth can cry out. So if you are crying out, a heart that is looking for, the ground that is looking for is a ground that seed, whatever God puts into, is a ground which is hungry, thirsting, and crying out. Surely, what is planted, the kingdom of God will grow. Kingdom of God is looking for grounds, hearts which is hungry, thirsty. I'm thirsty, Lord, pour out more of you, more of you. I'm thirsty, Father. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry today. I need that. So kingdom of God is something that is going to open up. The land is going to open up. When the land opens up and says, yes, I'm here waiting. I'm crying out, Father. So kingdom of God is like the seed. And he's looking at example, identifies the seed. Only a soil which is allowed, which allows the seed to take deep root, yielded fruit, which has got to go through deep. So when you run up for, in order for the root to go, the seed is willing to go through. But if the hard, the soil is so hard, it is not wet, it is not fertile, it is not wet with the tears, it is not wet with crying out, you will not be able to receive the root down deep inside. So the kingdom of God, if you seek the king and the kingdom of God, you must seek. The kingdom of God is compact like this. It's a ground, a fertile ground. The seed is every time fertile. Seed is every time willing to be growing. But the ground must be fertile. The ground must be willing to receive the water. The ground must be willing. Amen. The kingdom of God is not just like that. Anybody can conquer. Right? The kingdom of God just simply cannot go and conquer. You cannot take arms and take the whole family or a whole group of people here, Amazing Grace, go and conquer the kingdom of God. No. Jesus himself, if this is my kingdom, is not of this earth. If it is so, he told whom? Hello? He told whom? Before crucifixion? If it is so, I will call upon my, the kingdom, I will call about mine. If it is my kingdom is here, you know what he says? I'll call upon angels, they will come in multitudes. Multitudes. Multitude means cannot count. You know, when you see something, so many, I don't know how to count, so multitudes. Hopefully it's trillions. I believe it's trillions. Cannot count. Can you just imagine one sea of people standing there? Can you count? I was watching a video the other day of Brainerd Bonnke in the place of, you know, giving his evangelistic message. You see the flood of people. My God. It's so huge. Miles they are waiting. They're standing and listening to him. It's multitude. You cannot see 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. It's multitude. I do not know how many million. So many people, multitudes. In the multitudes, you know, in the God is looking. He says that his kingdom has got multitudes of people who is willing to defend for him. So that's the kingdom we want to seek. The king who has got multitude of angels with him. Can you just imagine? He has got multitudes. He cannot give part of the multitude to you. Part of the multitude, you know. He's got soldiers, many, thousands and thousands of millions of them. Okay, James, today I give you two of them. Oh, thank you, Lord. Two is enough. One on my left, one on my right. In the world, you see many of them want bodyguards. Is that right? We employ bodyguards. Even some, every time nowadays, it's, you know, it's a nuisance on the road, you know, to go there every time. We see some people going in front, behind, aside, all got motor crates going up everywhere. So people are very scared of their security. We have got a God who provides invisible security. Amen. No man can see. No man can see. But that invisible the security is always with us. Only those who come against you will be able to see and flee from you. Amen. That's how the kingdom of God is. So the kingdom of God has got to grow, has got to be hungry. Secondly, he talks about a parable. Let's look at a second parable. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in a field. And then he talks about a test. I think I don't have to go through all this. You all know this word? How many of you don't know? If you don't know, I'll ask somebody to read up. Okay, for the sake of every one of you who do not know, can somebody who can read fast, okay, read up for me from verse 24 for the test? Somebody who's there, can you read up? Until verse 13. Hello? There's nobody here. Knock, knock. Can somebody read up? Sister Jay, can you just read up?
When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.
Amen.
So you'll find, he says, now the second thing about parable of kingdom of God, this is how the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is like, you know, a sower plants weeds, he sows weeds, and the weeds suddenly, you'll find, suddenly something else happened. In between there were a lot of tares. Tares are something that is against, it's opposite of wheat. Where tares is actually, when we did search, I did some dictionary search, and it says, it's the same kind of seed, looks like that, it's a bit darker than the normal weeds. It's darker. Alright? When I look for what is the tare, you know, what did you find that seed? Where do you find? It's darker. It's the color is darker a little bit and the same. So you'll not see the things, but it's almost same, but it's thrown. So in other words, in the same time when the kingdom of God is like this, when the kingdom of God is growing, as it is growing and it goes up, the kingdom of God is that also will be attacked by the evil ones. There will be a people around you and they will be around. In the kingdom of God, in this place here, you'll find God says that, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like this. When even the tares are planted before, because I love you, because I care for you, because you're part of my kingdom, I will not just pull out, I will not let anyone destroy, so that a day will come, I will gather all of you. See how caring he is. You know, I belong to a farmer's family. When I was young, you have to go, you know, when you've got a nursery to plant a paddy field. First, you have a nursery first. You have to play one place, and the one you really, they spend so much of time. My father would spend so much of time. I used to wonder, you know, I'm really tired. Why this old man, you know, sitting down and doing all these things? You know, he'll do so much of time just to put the seeds on the grounds. And after putting the seeds, he'll take that and we'll employ many people. Ladies will come on the day. Everyone else got to go to the place. We have to prepare the paddy field, you know. The soil very well, and there must be enough water there. Then after that, we have to, you know, barges all around, and then we have to go and plant it. So when it's really soil around, we have to take the seed. No, they'll give you a big bundle like that. You take out a few and you go and plant like that. So it is nothing. There is no tares at all. Right? Nothing. You cannot find a grass, nothing. It's all clean, very nice. But suddenly, you'll find lalang come out, this one wheat come out, sometime this one come out, in between. So my father has got to call us up and he says, now the time that we have to go in slowly and take out. After some time, you cannot, until the time the wheat grows a little bit bigger like this, right? The wheat grows until a certain level, you have to go and tend it. Afterward, you cannot tend, because you know why? You cannot know, differentiate between the tares and also the paddy. They're almost the same, like. They're almost similar. I have an experience. God has given me this experience, so I can tell you what actually is that. You can go and see that we don't know which one to tear, because there's no paddy coming out. There's nothing. The same plant looks like the same. So we don't know which one. Until the day it starts bearing fruits. Until the day you see the paddy has got something like the stalk, and it has got many coming out, right? And you find so many paddies inside. Have you seen a paddy? How many of you have not seen? Praise the Lord. Next time when I go somewhere, I'll bring a paddy, you know? And I'll show you to this how it looks like, and this how they harvest it. So when you find the wheat, also same thing. Until it fruits, you cannot see. So why did he say that, Jesus said that, you know the tares, you'll pull out the tares, because you cannot identify which is good and which is bad, because they all look alike. So in the kingdom of God is, people in the kingdom of God will look alike like the people of the world. So we are in the world. Those in the kingdom of God are in the kingdom of God. They all look alike. There are many people who wear masks every day and they pretend to be good people, but at the end of the day, they have got a motive. Until the person bear fruits in the life, then you can see This is of kingdom of God, and this is kingdom of darkness. So that is why Jesus, in another way, he says, unless the Holy Spirit, and Paul speaks about it, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the fruits that we bear fruits. Jesus speaks again, the fruits, unless you bear vines, fruits, unless you're fruitful. So the fruit will differentiate you, the one which is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Hello, are you with me so far? So Jesus says, he will let everyone in the kingdom of goodness, kingdom of God, anyone who is in the kingdom of God will be fruitful. Amen. Amen. Receive it. Say, anyone who is in the kingdom of God will be fruitful. And I know they will be fruitful. Wait for the time and the season will come. I will know how to harvest the wheat, and I will know how to gather the others and bind them and send them to the wicked place. That is the fire. So Jesus cannot say, you do not know. I know, but I don't want you to go. Because he does not do everything himself. He asked his angels. He said, the angel said, I will go and pull it up. Who asked him? Did Jesus say, I'm going to pull up? Did Jesus say, can you understand the word? The word of God. If you read again, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to pull out the test. Jesus knows who is the test, but he's not doing the work. The harvesters, the people who are going out to pull out the test. Like me, when I was young, we know at the time, until the time it fruits, then only we know which is test. By which time it's too big. Which waste time, you know, no waste of time to go and harvest them. To pull out the test, you know? So you know this test, or you just, time will come, you just harvest all the paddy and let the test be there. We also cut off the test. After that, we'll put the test to become fertile for the land. Amen? So Jesus knows the difference between, he says, in the kingdom of God, people will be fruitful. Amen? So the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, they will not be fruitful. They will not bear fruits, good fruits. Do you understand so far? So that is why Jesus says very carefully, when he says, no, unless you are fruitful, otherwise God will himself will come and prune you. John. Right? So there is no contradiction what Jesus says. What Jesus said here in the parable does not contradict what in John he says. So he has got to be fruitful. The fruits of the world show up, and when it's fruitful, that the kingdom of God, everyone, he's saying, will be fruitful. So unless and until the test, the wicked ones will come, and he will deal with the wicked ones, the lazy, those who are not right, he'll deal with them later. Amen. Kingdom of God gives you opportunity to be fruitful in the whole time. Amen. Amen. You see, it will be fruitful, and he also gives an opportunity to everyone to be fruitful. That again decides something else. That is why when you talk about salvation, you know, I'm justified. You know, today I'm justified. What is meaning receiving salvation? What is the meaning of repentance? What is the meaning that Jesus died once and all for me and on the cross? No, it's like this. I can give you an example. If I'm driving, you are somebody married man here who's driving the car and is going from here to go to, say, they're going to go for a nice place to eat in the evening. He's getting the children, family all. They're going to Klang to go to what is Klang famous for? Bakuteng. Okay, they're going to Klang Bakuteng. And the husband, but the wife has been there. My wife saw the picture and all the snap, how to go. And then the wife, it came to a traffic light and said, there are four junctions. And the husband said, no, you must turn right, darling. And the husband said, no la, it's left la. So he goes to left. Halfway he goes, he knows he's in the wrong place. Then what he has to do? Turn back, make a roundabout turn, turn back. So, repentance is not only receiving Jesus Christ, but also turning back from the old way and going the new way. Hello? Do you know the right way? So, you have got a map of the right way, the Word of God, and you know how to go, and you've got an assistant with you, that's the Holy Spirit. Well, the ladies are not the Holy Spirit, no. I'm saying the Holy Spirit. I'm just giving an example, okay? Don't go and tell your husband today, I'm the Holy Spirit. Everything I say, you must listen. I endorsed already. Tomorrow, buy me a diamond ring. If you don't buy, you don't come back home. All those nonsense are out, you know. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the navigator. And he says, turn around. And you come to sin already. Oh, yeah, never mind, the old self can love. Oh, no, turn around. You still want to go. Then you're asking for trouble. You know, when the wife said turn this side and didn't turn this side, at the end of the day, you go half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours later, you don't find the bakute shop, hence you will know what? Whatever is in the hand. Handbags, most of the time. Make sure your wife's handbags are light. The ladies are going nowadays, the handbags are so heavy, they can't find themselves inside. So, you must know, that is how repentance is like. So, when you say now, it's repentance. So, Jesus is speaking about people who are not fruitful. Turn back. Go the right way so that you will be able to be fruitful. Amen. Fruitfulness comes only because if you walk in the way that God speaks to us. We do not say, yes, because yes, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm alright. I know things are alright. But I know I've already received God. Jesus done for me and I'm okay. That's fine. Jesus doesn't rob back what he has said. Doesn't take it back from you what he said. The joy is given. But in the joy, you can be also misled. How many of you, you know, somebody come and tell you, knock, 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 knock. Hello, brother, I've got a, you know, envelope for you, a parcel for you. Oh, are you happy? Somebody send me something. And then you open up and see, the joy was not good because you receive a summon. The latest cameras they have, you know. Have you seen the latest cameras? Oh, they are white in color. Be careful. Traffic lights. Just like that. And the highways, like that. They'll speak to you very clear. Okay? So be careful. So same way, you must understand, a kingdom of God is must be fruitful. So you must turn back to the things that we have to do so that we will be fruitful. Amen. The third one, the third parable he talks about. Verse 31 to 32. Verse chapter 13, verse 31 to 32. Can you, sister, read again since you have got a microphone? Are you with me so far? Mustard seed. 31 to 32.
The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches.
Man, praise God. Kingdom of God is different from whatever you talk about. Kingdom of God is something that is different. It is so little. What he needs is little faith, little understanding, little knowing of the word of God, little understanding and say, yes, I believe this. That's all. The faith that you took, and it will grow. It will grow. It's like a mustard seed. He says, compares the mustard seed and the tree. When the tree, mustard seed tree grows, how big will it be? It's huge. It's one of the biggest. It's the biggest, I should say. Right? When it becomes big, so the mustard seed is actually the seed that is planted in us is the blood, the DNA of Jesus Christ. Amen. When you receive the DNA of Jesus Christ, the blood that you carry is no longer the same blood you have. So you have to have the mustard seed that he's talking about. The seed is so small. You just receive one drop of my blood. Just one drop. That's it. That heals it. You'll grow to be so huge. And you will have that compassion we talked about, the compassion this morning. You will grow like the tree that is with the seed. The seed cannot be a mustard seed, cannot produce banana tree. Have you got a mustard seed which you planted and suddenly it came out to be banana tree tomorrow? Or rambutan tree? Or durian tree? A mustard seed will produce a mustard seed. I mean a tree which is a mustard seed will produce a mustard seed. You cannot plant a durian plant and you expect a mustard seed from there. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot plant durian and say tomorrow I want to receive also mangosteen tomorrow. Cannot. What it produces is what it is supposed to determine to produce. The gene inside is to produce what it's supposed to be. You cannot alter. Man is trying to alter today with the seed, even today, to seed so that it becomes big, so that people will eat it and genetically we will be modified in our genes. So we are not supposed to be like what the world is giving. The world, when you receive the seed from Jesus Christ, the tree that you grow, it will become a shelter to many other people. That is why he says it again. I quote again. He says, the day will come that you'll be co-heirs and you'll be co-heirs with him in the kingdom of God. When the kingdom of God and his co-heir, you'll rule and reign with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if in order for us to rule and reign, we must have the DNA of the seed of the master. The master seed must be inside us. So the plant is like, kingdom of God is like this. When he planted, he gave that word inside us, the blood inside us, it becomes a seed that is so huge, and it will be bearing fruits. Not only bearing fruits, it will also become a shelter for many others. Amen. So in order, what he says, the kingdom of God, anyone who is in the kingdom of God will not be a small person. They might think they are small, they are big in the kingdom of God. He's not looking at the beginning, but he's looking at the end. Do you understand? Jesus does not, when he compares that mustard seed, he says, in the beginning you are like this, but the end result of you, your life, of the DNA I've given you, you'll be so huge like a mustard tree. Amen. So we should not feel that we are in the kingdom of God. We are smaller than the kingdom of the people of darkness. The people of darkness can never beat us because it's the largest tree. Amen. Amen. So God is telling us today that the kingdom of God, whoever comes into the kingdom of God, when you seek the king of the kingdom of God, then his tree is so huge, everyone will know wherever they stand. That is a tree. They can identify the tree because they belong to the kingdom of God. Amen. You cannot put a banana tree next, let a whole world know banana tree, you know, 10 miles you cannot see. But you put up a mustard seed tree, you know what happens? So many people can see from miles. Oh, that's a mustard seed tree. It's a huge tree. They'll become directions. Do you understand? They'll become the directions. They'll be the signboard for people. They shall be the signboard for people. That is why he says again, if God doesn't contradict Jesus, then he says, you shall be the salt and you shall be the light. A signboard is a light. Hello? Are you with me so far? Praise God. So the kingdom of God, anyone is in the kingdom of God, will be now not only growing, you are small, but you'll grow out to be so huge that you not only you'll be noticed, you'll be noticeable, but you also will be a signboard for others. You'll be a direction for others. Amen. Glory to God. The Spirit of God is mighty here this morning. Amen. So God is saying this, my kingdom is different from the kingdom of darkness. My kingdom is different from the kingdom of the earth. My kingdom is different from everything else. That is why he said, our Father who art in heaven, with thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So you have to have that coming into heaven. The heaven's kingdom has come down. The king of the heaven's kingdom is Jesus Christ and no one else. Amen. So the king will give you how huge Jesus is, so shall you be, because you are the seed of Jesus Christ, the DNA of Jesus Christ. Amen. So you have to have, you and I have to have the same thing. So we understand we are not in the kingdom of playing the fool or making churches, but no, we are in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God people will be huge. There will be a direction. They are noticeable. People from everywhere will see, and this is the person from the kingdom of God and no one else. They will identify and say, you belong to Christ. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So kingdom of God in Daniel chapter 2 verse 44. Can you turn it quickly please? Are you all with me? Can we finish this today? I still have got a few more. How many of you all can sacrifice today for your lunch? About a few minutes later. So your stomach is really crunching already. Quickly, Daniel chapter 2 verse 44. Brother Brian, can you put on 13? Matthew chapter 13, 33. This 24 came. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Why did he say it will never be destroyed? Because it's so huge. Why it cannot be destroyed? You cannot be destroyed. You cannot, the joy God has given to you cannot be removed because he's so huge. Amen. Banana tree tomorrow will just, one wind turbine come, one of the wind comes or a whirlwind comes, pop, goes away. Don't know what the names nowadays, all the names are fancy names of all the hurricanes and all those things. You know, they got Catherine La, you know, supposed to be a good name, you know. All the Catherine La and this, all the names are destroying names. Alright? So all these names are given because, you know why? It is said to be, it will be broken and all. But no, when you are huge, you shall not be shaken. Amen. Because your root is grounded. Amen. Because your root is grounded. A tree which is tall and huge cannot be standing there without a root which is so deep to receive what is the minerals from the land. I don't have time to preach on that. You know, you talk about a tree, and a tree, the faith of tree, then you'll understand what I'm saying today. Amen. Praise the Spirit of God. Amen. New revelations. So this kingdom of God is not, cannot be seen. It becomes so huge, it surpasses all other kingdoms. It cannot be a person who's in the kingdom of God cannot be equated with another kingdom. You have to be different. You cannot be saying, I'm in a Thai kingdom, or in the kingdom of Malaysia, or in the kingdom of this and that kingdom, or I'm in the Elizabeth kingdom, or whatever kingdom. But it is not so, because it surpasses all these kingdoms. Amen? So Daniel 4 is very clear, that chapter 2 verse 24 says that he will surpass, cannot be broken. Amen? Praise God. So let's go to 11. The next one is 11, chapter 13 verse 33. Can somebody read? Sister. Matthew chapter 13, 33. Amen. So the kingdom of God, when it's like a yeast, you know, does not come and stay one side. When you put the dough, let's say for example, how many of you has used a dough before? How many of you made some cake or something like the dough? Okay, I know some of you ladies have done. I had an opportunity. So every time you put a dough, let's say you take the roti canai dough, you know, right? Put inside. You put a little bit of yeast on this side, and the yeast doesn't mean to say it will not spread this side. The yeast will stay this side. No, yeast will be spreading, will saturate the entire bread. Amen. A yeast which is put into any dough will saturate the entire dough. The word is saturation. It should not be in one part. It should be all the parts of the dough. So much so, it goes inside and inside the person. So when the DNA of Jesus Christ, when you receive, it's like this leaven. When he gives you the leaven, when he gives you this yeast, and he puts that, it's like a yeast. You cannot sit small. You can be saturating everything around you and in yourself. Amen. So that is why he says, when you do dough, you do not just put the yeast there, one corner, and that only that part. When you mix it together, it goes to different parts of the entire bowl of dough you have will be saturated with the yeast. And the produce is to grow big. Amen? The end result is what? Grow big. Grow big where? Every area. Hello? Does your bread have this side so small and then this side only big? Because the yeast touched there. Have you ever seen a bread which is, you know, this side kachut? No, it's hard, so hard because there's no yeast and this side is all yeast. I've never seen one till today. Unless you make one for me. But all the bread looks huge. The dough is so small. If you don't know what is it like, you go to a bakery like behind, there are a few bakeries here. Just go there and see when they're making dough. Can I just come and see? I'll pay you one ringgit to see what you're doing today. Because somebody said in the church something about yeast. How does it work? When they put into the oven, the dough is so small. Right? Is that right? So small. When it comes out, it's so big. So you do not become big in one area. You become big in every area. So the dough, the kingdom of God will not keep quiet. Kingdom of God will be an influencing one, which keeps you bigger and bigger and saturate you every area of your life. Amen. Anyone is in the kingdom of God shall not be just growing in one area, that I will be one-sided tall and one the other side I'm short. No such thing as that. You'll be growing in every area, which is all saturated, totally saturated. Your family life and everything else will be the same. Because you know why? The yeast does not work on one part. It works on all the parts of the dough. Amen? So kingdom of God has got to be understood. Kingdom of God is the king. It's the king that makes the difference. The king of the kingdom of God. The king of the kingdom of God is Father in heaven, Yahweh. Amen. The king of the kingdom of heaven is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, who will come to reign. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today the kingdom of God is saturating. Kingdom of God is not something. If you look at the day it was before, when it only was 120 people in the upper room, in books of Acts chapter 1, you'll find only 120 people were in the upper room after Jesus Christ ascended. You'll find that there were 120 of them, and out of 120 of them, today we have millions of people all over the world. With 120. Many of them are nameless. No names mentioned. Only we know some names. The 120 names are not written in the book. Jesus had his disciples, 12 of them, he mentioned the names. But his 120 is no names. Only some had names. Some had titles. apostles, disciples. Others, no names. Who are the people? Just like you and I. We don't have to receive something. We don't have to receive the things that we have got in our life. So we can go out and influence, and it will grow out big. The kingdom of God cannot be just kept quiet. When the yeast touches, it has got to enlarge. It should saturate the world. Amen? So there are lies. There are people you see in the world of God. You know, people who become. There was this guy who was talked about. My spiritual daughter from in Sarawak sent me an email. Pastor, see this. She called me. Did you see that email I sent you? Not Pastor. Yesterday, I think so. Yesterday, day before yesterday. And she talked about Dr. Owen or something like that. Then somebody said he's an apostle. Or he's supposed to be the Elijah. But you see, somebody else took the same name and put aside, and he started putting a cap here and all darkness. He's now with the same beard. He's talking about Islam. He's contesting the Bibles. Do you understand? But they think they're growing. People think that everything is growing out. Don't be disheartened. Our God is a mighty God. Our God is a great God. Our God is the King of Kings. Amen. Praise God. The next parable. Matthew chapter 13 verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Amen. Can you just imagine? He's saying, you know, kingdom of heaven like this. It's got a treasure. What is the treasure in the kingdom of heaven? What is the treasure, hidden treasure? What is the mystery? This treasure means the mystery. What is the mystery in the kingdom of heaven? There must be a mystery in this kingdom of heaven. He says it's like a treasure. It's hidden. Nobody can see. Nobody can understand. Nobody can know in their own knowledge. Cannot understand. Cannot comprehend in their own knowledge. Science and everything else cannot comprehend. Your intellectual things cannot comprehend. What is that mystery? That Jesus himself gave up his glory. He gave up all his treasures that he had. All the power he had with the Father in heaven. He came down as man for one purpose. So that those, you read just now, Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Go back chapter 61, Isaiah verse 1 says the same. And he says that he came in with that one purpose. To set the people free. Amen. Set whose people? His people free. So he has got to set the people free. So the glory, the treasure, if you understand that mystery, that is the treasure that you have. You know this treasure, you will forsake everything in the world that you will want this treasure alone. Amen. Because the kingdom of heaven is not only in heaven, it is also here on earth. Amen. Those who believe in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, I don't tell you this, I'm talking about kingdom of God, he's talking about kingdom of God now. Kingdom of God is not only one area, not only Malaysia, not only in that country of Israel, it is the entire universe. He is the king. He is the overseer, the father. So now he says, now kingdom of heaven, when you come to know the kingdom of heaven, you cannot be the treasure that he's in, the image that he created man in, that a treasure of redemption, the redemptive treasure, that treasure that if you find the mystery in it, then it's the greatest treasure. No wealth, no knowledge, nothing can ever hold you. You'll forsake everything for this treasure because you cannot buy it. You cannot. In the book of Acts, you'll find when even this soothsayer, you know, he was this black magic man. He was let me get the chapter. It's coming to my memory. He talks about this man when Peter visited, you know, Philip, and Philip was praying. This man came and said, "Oh, all this power you have, can I have that same power? How much do I have to give you to get this power?" He wanted to buy the wealth of what Peter did that day was to raise the dead, heal the people, demons possessed, all were running away. And this man who is a soothsayer, a black magician, asked him, "Can you give me that power to me so that I can buy it?" That's the mystery that you need. People would like to empty themselves, sell what he's got so that he can buy this. But he cannot buy. You have to empty yourself to get this treasure. That's the kingdom of God. Empty yourself. Not what you have in the pocket. Empty yourself to get into this kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is not for purchase. It's for emptying yourself. As Jesus emptied himself to heaven, he gave up all his power. He gave up everything, the word that created everything in the world. That everything that is seen today and unseen is created through the word of God. That word came alive. That is the mystery. Forsook the power of the word. He gave up the power of the word and came down as man. Powerless. So that we will have the power. We will have the righteousness. We'll have the sanctification and glorification. Amen. Amen. So that is why when you seek the king and his righteousness, all the things that is in the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, oh, it will blow your mind. You will forsake everything in the world. That is why when you see, somebody told me the other day, Pastor, I read this Generals of God. I've got these two books of Generals of God. I'm going to bring it here and leave it here in the church. And I want you all to read here, not to bring home. Because anything brought home will never come back here. I must put a chain and tie it and keep it here. I want to read, it will give you, every church member, a heart that says, how did this man or ordinary man like me has given his life for this God? The mystery. When you know the mystery, you'll give up everything else. You'll forsake the earth and the worldlies for the kingdom of God. That's the power of attraction of the kingdom of God. That is the mystery. That is the treasure of attraction. Because of treasures, hidden treasures, lost treasures, they want to go up, you know, ship sunk somewhere in Straits of Malacca, ship sunk in Macau area. They are going digging now to get the treasures. Those treasures are nothing compared to this treasure. Amen. They are worthless compared to this treasure. This treasure is the greatest treasure. He says, compass the kingdom of our God as the treasure you have found. And you'll forsake everything else. You sell everything else just for the sake of this kingdom. Amen. Can we go to the next one? Praise God. I can give you, go back and see. I've got some verses here. You can go back and see. You know what I said just now. Lay down all the things which Jesus laid down is Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. And also you'll find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, he says, you'll become the sacrifice. Jesus was sacrificed and is hidden. So we become the inheritance. Inheritance begins because the treasure that he has given to us, we become the inheritance, is Ephesians chapter 1. Can you read the next one? 45, 46? Pearl of the great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, why didn't Jesus use this? Now, this morning, I was Sister Honey was walking into the room as I was preparing and I was meditating. I was looking for the word pearl. Why, Lord, you use the word pearl? Why didn't you say you found diamond? Why you not found diamond? Why did God didn't use diamond? Because, you know, diamond, you have to, the entire this thing, coal has got to be, carbon has to be compressed to certain degree and there must be a certain amount of heat. Then only it will become diamond. Do you know how the diamond is formed? Hello, you go back and see. But you see, pearl is something different. He says it's a hidden pearl. A pearl, a merchant has got to go out. He has got to, how do you harvest pearls? You have to go out into the sea and to harvest the pearls. It doesn't come in a kind of a rock you have to go and knock out. It's in a pearl which is closed by a shell. Do you understand? See, it's closed by a shell. It's already there. The pearl is inside there. But unless you open it, then you see the pearl. The treasure. Why pearl? Why not something else? See, pearl has got some elements of our bones. You go and find out the pearls, he's got to be developed from the time he's developed. He's got an element. I just researched this morning and I got that one I wanted to share with you. Why did Jesus say it? The dictionary says that it's a small rounded bead formed with the shells of certain molluscs. I don't know how to pronounce. M-O-L-L-U-S-K-S. Molluscs. And composed of mineral aragonite or calcite in a matrix deposited in concentrated layers as a protective coating. You know, it is given, it's a concentrated. You know why? You look at the bones, that the structure that we have, the main form of the bones is got is calcium. And the kingdom of God is like this. You have to find that structure of yourself, that pearl, the diamond that is inside you, the pearl that you are looking for, has got to be something's ready for to be harvested. Anybody in the kingdom of God will be like pearls. Their structures will be straight. And they have all the minerals they need. All they need. All the wealth they need. All that they need for the body, for themselves in their life, is already there. If your bone is off, you can have any amount of muscles, it's worse. Nothing can help you. I can tell you from my experience. The muscles, when the bone is off, you can't even carry anything. You can't even squat. You can't even sit. You can't even walk. Let alone get up from your bed. Because the bone is not in alignment. When you are in the kingdom of God, you're like pearl. Not only are you beautiful, it's so beautiful. The treasure is so expensive. But it takes time. It takes time for the pearl to be formed. And the structure which is formed inside you is from God Himself. Amen. Amen. God has given us everything. The pearl that He's talking about is so beautiful. He'll give up everything. He says He'll go out and sell everything and come back and buy this place. Why He says that? He says because you'll also empty yourself out totally. You'll sell out everything. That the thing that you're looking for in the world, pearl is not found in heaven. It's pearl. They said that many people told me there are heavenly things, pearls, diamonds. They know people have seen angels for dropping diamonds here. I have not seen anyone here yet. I can't find. They said gold dust came. I have not found. I'm not interested in all that. I just need Jesus here. The one who walks on the gold is better than the one who's in the gold under the feet. Right or not? You need the person who walks on the gold, not the gold which he walks on. Right? So we need that person here. That person of Christ. The Spirit of God that moves. It's here. You know? I don't want that gold and permanent. Otherwise we'll become greedy, you know. We'll boast ourselves, I found gold. I want to keep it all the time. So you'll look for a treasure, not for the treasure, true treasure God has given. The pearl that he's talking about is that pearl that he says that you'll find it so expensive. They're empty. What the needs you have, you'll find it in one place. The pearl. Amen. It's beauty. It's like a drop. You know, they say, you know, why did he use that pearl? Not why didn't he use gold? The gem is valued as gem and it is colored, finely colored. The composure is so difficult and it's cultured. It's cultured pearl. And he says something. The synthetic one substance looks like the same. The kingdom of God, the pearls, there are also synthetics around here. How many are wearing synthetic pearls here? I don't put up hands. Okay, so the ones they are like that. So you, those who are in the kingdom of God are original pearls, not the synthetic ones. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there is something, they have the synthetic pearls. So the original ones, the pearls of Christ, of the God's kingdom of God, they are pearls. They are like pearls because God has given us that kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. And you know what? The pearls has got to be harvested. You cannot go out and say, the pearl, you want to get a pearl, you must go and harvest. You must wait for a season and harvest it. So the people in the kingdom of God are harvesters. Amen. You want to get that pearl, you must harvest. Harvest where? Yield where? To the king. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's read the next one. Next one is 13, 47 to 50. 47 to 50. The next time I must get some water and keep here. Verse 47 to 50. Can somebody read?
Amen. Praise God.
Okay. Now, the kingdom of God, he compares. Just now we talked about the wheat and the tare. Why did he use wheat and tare? Now he's using a fisherman style. Because the people around that area were fishermen and also people who were farmers. So now he has got to tell the people in the dragnet. He uses the dragnet. Jesus' kingdom of God is just pulling everything else. Everyone who comes into the net, everyone who says, I believe in Christ. You know, many of them say, you know, as I am now saved already, I don't have any more problems in life. I can do whatever I want. Have you heard that story? Last night I was preaching in a church, Christ the Light last night, and I had two pastors sitting in the congregation, and they came up and we talked about obedience, and we talked about obedience and disobedience. In the last day, there's an increase of disobedience, and God was speaking to it, and the pastors came up and says, we all chat for a while, and he talked about the same thing again. He said, the last days, many of them have got this wondrous thinking that I can do anything after I become Christian, because I've got a blanket cover. Put on the blanket of Jesus Christ. I can do anything under the blanket. Because the blanket will cover me. That's not what Jesus said. It's a dragnet. Everyone will be cast. You know, there are different types of fishes. The small fish, the big fish, the different types of people, different types of tribes. People who are big shots, small shots. People who are farmers, who are fishermen. People who are beggars too. How many of us are, evangelizing to beggars? The crippled man. Those sitting down with a baby. Jesus did that. Peter, Paul, and others did that also. We felt that only giving some money. You know, when I read this scripture and I was preparing for this, and I found, you know, God was speaking to my life itself. James, are you speaking to the people that you see at the roadside? Are you able to sit down with them and tell them God wants to heal you? So everybody will come into the kingdom of God. But as they come, as you said, whether you are fruitful or not, this will show the kingdom of God will gather every one of them into the kingdom. The net will gather every one of them. Because the net of the kingdom of God is huge. He says large. He didn't say there's like a fisherman's net. He said a large net can contain every one of you come inside. As you come inside, in the last days, what he does? Just like the tares. We talked about a wheat and a tares just now. Those who are hopeless, throw away. There are some fishes cannot be eaten. You don't know that? You go to the fishman. You know, you go to the side. Have you been to a place where, I think our church should have a few excursion trips. One is to a paddy field farm. Right? We can go to somewhere, Kuala Selangor area. Another one is to go and see this fisherman coming to the shore. And you'll see the guys coming in. And you'll experience what you actually see when the fisherman comes. Thank you, brother. Bless your soul. Thank you. Bless you. The fisherman, as he comes, you know, you see that they have to throw away the one which cannot use useless. You know, they throw it away. Some of them are too small, not nurtured, they'll throw it away also into the sea. But important thing, he says, it's a large net. Everybody come in. It is so large that anyone can come into the kingdom of God. But at the end of the day, still there is one kind of thing, selection. Hello? There is still selection. Whether you are lukewarm or whether you are cold or hot. Hello? Revelation chapter 3. Whether you are lukewarm, you are in the net already. Oh, I'm in the net. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. But the net says that today here, that he says the last days when he gathers every one of them, as he gathers every one of them, as everyone can come into the net. That's my interpretation. No, what I spread from the Spirit of God. There are other doctrinal interpretations. I'm not interested in doctrinal things or theological things. I'm here seeing what God's heart is all about today. God says that today, in the last days, as I gather, as you, how much of fruits you have, you're fruitful, good. Go into that path. Sometimes we are lukewarm. God will spit you out. You're lukewarm. He tells the church, go back and read again the church, Revelation. He'll spit us out. That's called selection. In the time of a harvest time, when he brings the large net, he brings every one of them, open to all. No race, no credentials. Come as you are. But when you're in the kingdom of God, are you bearing the light of the kingdom of God? Amen. So in the last days, there'll be selection too. Amen. Praise God. So the kingdom of God is so large that it is good or bad. Anyone can come into that. It brings to all kinds of people, different walks of people, can be prostitute. In Jesus' time, there was a prostitute also. There were people who were accused. There are people who were sinners, lame. Jesus healed them and brought them back. Okay. You can go back and read the four gospels. Gives us how discipleship is all about. Discipleship starts from the four gospels, not from the book of Acts. Discipleship is actually in the four gospels. Amen. So you'll find it's the action of the disciples, or discipling is the action of the disciples which was manifested in the book of Acts. So you'll find that he says now selection time. So though many of them were there and some of them did very well, you'll find names are written, so many people written. I don't know how many of them. Some of them went down south. They went to the Tabitha. You know, we read about Tabitha. Rabbi Tabitha was saved. So there are so many others. So Philip went down to Samaria. He said many people in the area. Amen. So people are now at the last day, there will be some people separated too. There could be also people who pretend to be, as I said just now, the pearls can also be fictitious pearls. Synthetic pearls. They'll shine out like pearls. But they're not pearls. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So God is God's last days. So the kingdom of God is not just, it's open to everyone, but it's also as God is selection. The last of the parables. Can we read verse 52, please? 13:52. Can somebody read? 52. Then he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of, where am I? Yeah. Kingdom of God, instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Amen. Now, Jesus is talking about, this is my spiritual discernment from the Holy Spirit. See, everyone who is in the kingdom of God, you cannot separate the Old Testament and the New Testament. Hello, do you follow what I'm saying? There are some of us who will say, in the New Testament is what I have to follow because that is where I have my life, but I don't follow anything else on the Old Testament. Old Testament gives the direction towards Jesus Christ. Unless you know the direction, the ways, the things that has been spoken in the Old Testament, you will not know Jesus Christ. There are many things spoken about the King in the Old Testament. You cannot separate them. The thing that you will come out from, a person who is the kingdom of God will know, bring out the old thing. The scribes, mean scribes, the people or scholars will know the old thing and the new things too. Do you understand? So some of us are blipped, you know, we have got a blipped mind. Say, no, I only want to see the New Testament. And that's it. And I'm happy about it. Do you follow what I'm saying? So it should come with both of it. It's the old, it will bring up the scribes mean are mentioning. He didn't say any people. He talked about the scribes. Who are the scribes? How many of you know who are the scribes in the Old Testament, the time of Jesus Christ? Who are the scribes? Scribes, the Sadducees? Pharisees? Who are the scribes? The people who know the word of God. Hello? The people who know the word of God. So they are supposed to know, knowledgeable of the word of God. They are supposed to be teaching. They should not only come and say, I will take the Old Testament alone and I will not take the New Testament, which are what some of the Israelites are today thinking of. They won't take the New Testament, but they'll take the Old Testament. That is a religion which is born about in the year 1400. And this religion says that, no, you have got this Old Testament. I take from the Old Testament. I also recognize a little bit of this New Testament, but I will take the what I've got right now from now on. Hello? They recognize the Old Testament and the New Testament. Although they didn't take the whole concept of the New Testament. But it's important. Jesus says, the old must come out and the new also must come out. Only to find the kingdom of God. The kingdom does not just come just like that. There must be a testimony of the kingdom of God. Amen. That is why in Deuteronomy he says, you shall be testifying to your who? To your generations, to your sons. You shall be a testimony. So when you're walking, when you're sleeping, when you're eating, when you're dancing, when you're swimming, when you're going and playing badminton, or you're playing whatever, golf, you are still supposed to be a testimony to your sons, and the sons' sons, and the sons' sons. The word is very clear. How can you be a testimony when you do not know that the Hebrews were the chosen people, the people of Israel were chosen people, God spoke to them. At the time God spoke to them, if you do not know the testimony of what is supposed to be at that time, and the word was a testimony, and the creation was a testimony by God himself, the word was alive. How would you know the king? So in order for you to know the king, you cannot just take from the birth. But before that, what happened? Hello? Why the king has to come to earth as a man? Unless you know what is happening. So the old must come and the new will come. And the new is the new covenant God gives. The old covenant he must know, so that why the new covenant came in. Hello? So we cannot be judging and say, no, this one, I cannot believe, I have to cut off part of this thing, and there's a new flow, so I think, I must say this today, please, this church will still speak in tongues. Because it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Right? When we minister to people, we'll speak normal. But when we pray together, we'll pray in tongues sometimes. Because I don't know sometimes what to pray. Unless you can tell me what to pray, I don't know what to pray. I speak in tongues, then God will speak to me. The Holy Spirit will give me some inspiration to pray in certain things. So one of the things, we cannot cut off part of it. We cannot cut the Holy Spirit away from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hello, do you understand? They are one. Jesus said it very clearly. He said it again and again and again. And the Holy Spirit will come and I go away. I must go. The sooner I go, sooner he will come. Within 3 years of his ministry, he fulfilled what he said he'll bring forth unto every man. So you must have the old and the new. Why the Holy Spirit is important? Why last time the Father God spoke to the people through the Spirit? He spoke to the people, the prophets too. Now it's important for us to understand the old and new. The testimony is important because the law was given. There are two types of law. Laws of behavior and laws of, you know, the moral laws. And also spiritual laws in the Old Testament. So you must understand the moral law was very simple. There are a lot of things that you have to understand. They have to fulfill last time. In order for us to come today, today is supposed to be the Feast of Trumpet. Yesterday evening started out. You should have come and wish every one of us. We should have danced together like Hebrew John. We don't have to do that. Hello? You're supposed to fast on the Day of Atonement. 2 days ago was Day of Atonement. You can fast. Not necessary for that. And that day, and I saw who was there. I said, Jacob Damkani. I saw in my Facebook. Now I'm a little bit on Facebook, you know. I have a little bit more time. I can see in between time, Facebooks, you know. Don't laugh. I'm trying to upload photographs also. Now I learned that. So suddenly I got that yesterday. So now you must then, suddenly I see Jacob Damkani was in where? In Switzerland. I thought he was supposed to be in Israel, no. Oh, what Jesus has fulfilled for me, I am now here enjoying to the high. Only I wish that you can be here. I am seeing the heavens almost, he said. In the Switzerland high mountain, he says. It's beautiful, it's cold. Then everybody was supposed to be in Jerusalem. Crying out and fasting and praying. So you have to have the old and the new. And you must know which law to follow, which not law to follow. The moral, the spiritual he talks about is the Ten Commandments. It's a guideline for us. Otherwise, we do not know. That's why the Holy Spirit will prompt us to say what it is like. So those things we have to clean outside. The cups must clean. When, before you come to church, no, you must know. The olden days, the ladies who have got their mantras cannot enter into the temple. Today, anybody can enter any time. There are laws. So you must know the laws before. What are you liberated from? Hello? Are you with me? So God says now, in the last days, it's the scribes will bring forth the old and the new. The teachers will bring forth the old and new. You have to mix together. Only then you will know the truth. Amen. Then you will not recognize the entire kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is full of the old and the new because the Father in heaven has got to be recognized first. Amen. Yahweh has to be recognized. And you also see the Word was in the beginning with him. And you also know the Spirit of God was with him. When? When the Spirit of God was hovering around on the earth, and you'll find that it was darkness, where was the Spirit of God mentioned? In the beginning itself. Hello? So unless we know that, we cannot know why we are fallen nature today. Amen? So we cannot separate that. So the kingdom of God is the totality. Kingdom of God is not partiality. Amen? Praise the Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus spoke in parables so that it was able to understand, people can understand, that his disciples can understand. They were familiar, ordinary things, familiar to the people of the farming, the farmers, because they know what is sowing. And those people who are baking, he knows about baking. That's why he talks about, leaven. Then he talked about harvesting, and he talked about investing, investing into the treasures. And he talks about these investors, businessmen. You know what businessmen who like? Always like to invest to get high reaps of money. Money, 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 money. Where can I invest today? And I'm sure you saw the budgets. And the budget to see where you can invest. Whatever tax-free. And I know one thing for sure. Sugar price has gone up 20 cents. But the other prices of phone price has gone down by 200 ringgit. I think for all those people who are youngsters from 21 to 30 years old. So if you buy the latest phone, you can get 200 ringgit a bit. So all these are investors. So all the young people now run to go and invest in a telephone, a smartphone now. Because they got 200. Right or not? So they will invest. But when they come to coffee, there is no sugar. I said, no, sugarless. They'll put their phone inside and dip inside. It'll become tasty already. All right? Because it's comparison, right? No? It is right off one side to the other side. So as I'm saying, so we must be understanding what we are doing. So in the Old Testament and the New Testament will give us. So he's giving us everything in plainly for businessmen, for people who are investing, investors. He speaks them. And fishermen, he speaks to fishes about fishes. The kingdom of God, he's brought to everybody. And that's why he's closed and he says, like a net, like a dragnet. Everyone can come in. Businessmen can come in. Farmers can come in. Beggars come in. Prostitutes can come in. People who are lepers, you can come in. You're sick of headache also can come in. Whatever you are, you can come in. Amen. Amen. So the Spirit of God is moving today morning. And I'm speaking to all of us today. This kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven is interchangeable. Amen. And God today is speaking to all of us today. That today we know and God knows. Kingdom of heaven, God says in Daniel chapter 2 verse 44. He says that he'll set up the kingdom of heaven. So originally it was kingdom of God. And now he'll set up the kingdom of heaven. In those days. So the kingdom of heaven will be reigned by somebody, by Jesus Christ. And that kingdom has to come on earth. And the kingdom has to come. And he came the first time. When will it start? He came. He said the kingdom of God is at hand. Wherever I spoke to you last 2 weeks, you find Jesus spoke, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. And he says, if I can now today cast demons out of the finger of God, that means that the kingdom of God is here. Hello. A kingdom of heaven is here. He said it. All these verses, the other last 2 weeks before that, you heard that. So kingdom of God is already here. Kingdom of God was here 2,000 years ago. Kingdom of God has birthed. And now he's looking for the harvesters. Those people are harvesters, are the people who will reign with him. Amen? Amen. These are the days. Devil will come and he will try to take away and influence the kingdom of God people so that he will have more people as tares, so that he will have lesser people in the kingdom of God. But God is the justice God. God is good. And I pray today God will touch every one of us today to understand the kingdom of God. To know the kingdom of God is to know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. To know the kingdom of God, you must understand the king. You must search the king. If you don't know the king, you have not got the kingdom. Amen. Search the king. Character of the king. What is the kingdom? Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. Go back to the Old Testament and you see his characters. And he's been foretold about his characters. The New Testament, the four Gospels, speaks about his characters. That is discipleship. Amen. And I pray today God will give us a move this time. A move that God will never will have whatever is put into our hearts. And we'll move forward. Amen. And we are people of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand. Let's stand. Can you have the worship leaders come? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Shira Rabu Shantara Brihandra Basura Rabu Shantara Karabashura Rabu Shantara Brihandra Basura. Ilabara Baraba Shira Rabu Shantara Brihandra Basukura Rabu Shantara Brihandra Basukura Rabu Shantara. Ilabari handra basura boshandra bari handra basukura boshandra. in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." The peace can only come if you know the King. Because we are in the kingdom of God when we have the peace. And he says he has got the peace that surpasses all peace. He's got the knowledge that surpasses all knowledge. Unless we know the King. As we seek the kingdom of God today, let all of us allow the kingship of Jesus Christ come into our heart. We have confessed last time that Jesus is your Lord. Knowing today the benefits, knowing who we are in the kingdom of God, let's rededicate our hearts to Him back again. Let's rededicate. Lord, we come before You, Father. We dedicate our hearts to You today. O King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That everything that we possess in this body, our spirit, soul, and our body itself, physical body, we surrender them to You, Lord. It belongs to You, only to You, Lord Jesus. For You reign in our hearts. You reign in us. Every part of our lives, You reign, Lord. Every part of our soul, You'll reign. We welcome You, Lord. Jesus Christ. For You are the Christ. As Peter said, Jesus, You are the Son of God. You are the Christ. Lord, You are the Son of God, the King of Heaven, who reigns. Come, reign in our heart. Father, as it is in heaven, let it be done on earth, Lord. Let Thy kingdom come into our hearts today. That You rule and reign our mind, our heart, our emotions, our will, our body too. You'll rule and reign everything that's inside us. That Your spirit will always remain with us. And Your Holy Spirit will move in us. That will, Lord, be in the character of Jesus Christ, the King of our hearts. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You've given us the opportunity to be in the kingdom of God. Father, we pray that we shall be harvesters. We shall be like yeast too, that we'll go out and saturate, not in ourselves, but also our family members. And those people whom we are dealing with daily, those whom You bring us across our path, that Lord, like we'll be like a yeast. That we'll be like a yeast for them. That we'll grow, Lord. That we'll touch people's life and draw closer to You. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank You, Lord, that we'll be like a tree, a mustard tree. So huge that only, Lord, people can recognize. But we shall be a direction for them to You, Lord. O King of Kings, Lord of Lords, reign in us. Let this new day be a day that we can remember. And Lord, be a testimony today that our heart is renewed towards You. And we'll forsake everything in the earthly kingdom for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Thank You, Lord. In the most precious name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.